I want to welcome all of you on our campuses today and all those that are watching online as well. We're in part four of a series entitled The Fighter. In the first week, we talked about the hesitant fighter that's reluctant, that's hesitant to get in the ring and engage in battle. The next week, we talked about the distracted fighter that they get in the ring and they're fighting, but if they're not careful, they take their eye off of the target, off of the prize, and they lose. Last week, we talked about the wounded fighter that keeps getting knocked down, but they have the courage to always get back up. Today, we're going to talk about the passionate fighter that says, I will do whatever it takes to win the fight. I'm curious, ladies, when you think about your husband or your husband-to-be, how many of you really get excited about having a man who's passive, who's aimless, who has no direction in his life, and who sits at home every night watching ESPN? Ladies, doesn't that just really light up your life? Probably not much at all. Let me put it another way. How many of you ladies would love to have a man who's full of passion? He's godly. He's a man of integrity. He has direction and focus in his life, and on top of that, he's a little bit dangerous. How many of you would like a man like that? Now, on all campuses, thank you, both of you. All right. You see, I believe that God has created every man with a cause to fight for. You can sense that God's created you to conquer, to move forward, to overcome, and to win. You come alive when you realize that you're fighting for something way beyond yourself. The problem is you have a spiritual enemy that every day wants to distract you from your cause. He wants to lead you away from your post so that you become passive and you forget to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. As we talk today about fighting to win, I want to look at two extremes that every fighter has to avoid. Because when you're involved in your cause, you see, when you abandon that cause, first of all, one extreme is you become passive. You remember the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? God said, you guys have fun, enjoy everything I've created, but don't eat from this one tree. Then the devil, in the form of a snake, tempted them to eat the forbidden fruit. The Bible puts it this way in Genesis chapter 3. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. What was Eve's first sin? I believe her first sin was rebellion. What was Adam's first sin? The Bible doesn't say, but I believe it was the sin of passivity. Because I asked the question, Adam, what are you doing as the man while all this is going on? Are you simply standing there, not involved? Adam didn't say, wait, honey, you shouldn't eat this fruit, because remember, God told us never to eat the fruit from this one tree. So I believe Adam is abandoning his post, his responsibility to lead. And if we're not careful, Adam did what so many men today do when the spiritual battle is going on. They simply turn their backs, they don't want to get involved, and they do nothing. Psalm 78 says, the warriors of Ephraim, though fully armed, turned their backs and fled when the day of battle came. Isn't that tragic? They were fully armed. They were ready to do what God had called them to do, but when they got ready to get engaged in the battle, they simply turned and went the other way. They ran. Men, your children may need your influence and your discipline in the home. But if you're not careful, when you come home after a busy day of work and the kids are out of control, you simply let your wife do all the dirty work. Or men, your family may need your leadership at home, maybe helping with homework, but you're watching TV or playing on your computer. Or men, may there be something in your business that's ungodly and you see something and you know you should stand up for what is right, but you say, you know what, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to cause any problems. I might lose my job. Or men, maybe your family's struggling financially and you're afraid to be the man and step up and say, no, I'm sorry, but we can't afford to buy that right now. You turn your back, you forfeit your leadership, you abdicate your responsibility. I know what many of you men are thinking. You're thinking, Don, I'm not that kind of a guy. I'm not passive. You know what? I believe today that most men don't even realize how drastically our culture is changing. Or maybe men, we simply feel helpless to bring about change. Let me ask you, when was the last time you saw a positive role, male role model in a TV movie or a TV episode? Think about that. When's the last time you saw a positive male role model in a movie or TV? To me, it has been years. The corporate world today, if you're an aggressive woman, chances are you'll get promoted. If you're an aggressive man, chances are you won't get promoted. And what happens? Now you say, that's not politically correct. I know, but I'm not concerned about being politically correct. I'm trying to tell you exactly what happens because I talk to men all the time that are right in the middle of this. So what happens? You try to lead in the corporate world and you get beat up 5 days. Then what happens? You are conditioned to be passive. You say, come to church, and we say, CCV, we're a church that's trying to reach men and help you guys be leaders. You need to step up and take charge. And you say, I don't know, because for 5 days I've got beaten up. What do you mean? I can really come in the church and lead? Absolutely. I believe in our culture today, the pendulum has swung way too far to one side, and men have become way too passive. And you can really see that in the younger generation of young men that are coming up. Hang with me. I also believe that we have the pendulum that also is going back the other way. And too many men today are becoming way too abusive. You see this in the Old Testament. King Saul was following God's ways. He became jealous of the new kid named David who was gaining popularity. After all, David killed the giant. He was a war hero. He played great music on his harp, and all the ladies thought he was cute. And Saul began to think, wait a minute, I'm the king, and they're all looking at this guy. And so instead of becoming passionate about God's call on David's life, he became abusive and defensive and went ballistic. Look at what it says in 1 Samuel 19. Then Saul sent the men back to see David and told them, bring them up to me in his bed so that I may kill him. In other words, wait till he's asleep and bring him to me that I may kill him. Saul's no longer passive. Now he's out of control and abusive. That can happen to any man. You say, well, wait a minute, how does that happen? Because one day you wake up and realize that you're not living the life that you dreamed of. You're not accomplishing in life where you wanted to go. You're not getting the job you always wanted, and it makes you angry. And so if you're not careful, you're afraid to take responsibility for your actions, for your wrong decisions. And so you lash out at whoever is close by. And sadly, a lot of men end up hurting those they're called to love the most. See how it happens? We say things like, if you weren't so demanding, I could go out and hang out with my buddies like I used to. Or we'd say, if you wouldn't spend all our money, we could finally get out of debt. Or if you weren't always nagging me, then I'd be happy and fulfilled. And that fighter, that man keeps lashing out, and they become angry, and then they become abusive. Men, that's not the way that God has called us to live. God has something far better for you. You see, a man who is on fire for God has a different walk in his step. He has a different look on his face. He has a different sound in his voice. He's dangerous, he's attractive, he's courageous, and he's pleasing to God because he's consumed with passion. Number three, the fighter pursuing his cause becomes consumed with passion. Remember what Jesus said when he came to the temple and found out God's house had been turned into a flea market? He was consumed with passion for God. John chapter 2 puts it this way. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? And his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. You see, Jesus didn't turn to his disciples and say, you know, guys, I really don't like what's going on here. I wish you men would write out a proposal, do a study, and come back and suggest to me some action steps to take care of this problem. Jesus didn't do that. He wasn't passive, but at the same time, he wasn't abusive. He wasn't out of control and killed everybody. He handled it with appropriate passion. Let me ask you, guys, what is the cause that you're passionate about? Because I believe every godly man has to fight and be concerned about two things. Number one, a fighter has to be concerned about someone to protect. You see, when you're living for yourself, There's no fulfillment in life. But when you begin to live for Jesus, you realize you got to step up and protect those around you. That happened to Nehemiah. He was God's man. He heard that the walls in Jerusalem were being destroyed. And so he decided that he would be used by God to fix the problem. And so he shared his dream. He got some men together. They inspected the walls, and he enlisted their support. He said, "Guys, I got a great career opportunity for you. I know a lot of you are unemployed right now. I can guarantee you $12 an hour. If you do a good job, over time, you'll get promoted to manager. And if you stay on for 2 or 3 years, you'll have enough money to buy that camel you've always wanted." No, Nehemiah didn't say that. He said, "Men, we're going to build a wall. It's dangerous. The enemies want to kill us. We're going to have to stand up and fight." Nehemiah chapter 4, he says, "Don't be afraid of them, the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." And you know what the men said to Nehemiah? "Nehemiah, I'm all in. I will do whatever it takes to rebuild this wall and protect our family. You name the time and the place." I believe there's something about us men that we love to fight and protect those we love. But some of you single men on our campuses may be thinking, "You know what, Pastor Don, I'm not married yet. I don't have kids. What about me?" And I want to say if you're a single man, God will give you someone to protect. It may be your aging mother. It may be that teenage boy down the street without a father in the home. It may be that single mom that works in the office. You see, how does a godly fighter protect? First of all, the fighter protects physically. Men, you should never lay a hand on your spouse. I don't care what the problem is, you should never lay a hand on your spouse. God has called you to protect her and the children and not punish her. And if you have anger issues and you are out of control physically, you need to protect yourself and you need to get professional help. Now, I'm not sure that I'm protecting my family like I thought I was. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were driving together and she said to me, "Honey, I think I want to buy a gun." And she said, "I think I want to get me a gun and go out to the shooting range. Yeah, that'd be fun." I mean, you're killing me. Now she has to protect herself and me, that I can't even do what God has called me to do. Pray for my marriage. Secondly, the fighter protects emotionally. You see, men, your wife has trusted her heart to you. Never betray her with your thought life, watching pornography, or having an affair. Because the more you protect your wife emotionally, the more she'll be vulnerable with you and the more intimate she will be with you. You get that, men? She'll be more intimate with you. All God's men said? Amen. Yeah, we're chickens. I mean, we think it, we're afraid to say it. So protect her emotionally. Thirdly, the fighter protects spiritually. You see, men, you're to be the leaders of your household. You're to be the pastors and the shepherds of your household. If you're a single mom, you're to be the leader of your household. Don't turn your back on your children spiritually. Instead, invest in them. Hold up the Word of God as the standard for your family. You say, "What do you mean?" Let's say your teenage daughter heads off to school with a little tube top on. And you say to her, "Honey, we don't wear things like that because we have a higher standard in our family." And your daughter's going to say, "Oh, Daddy, thank you for making me aware of that so much." No, she's not going to do that. Trust me, she'll throw a fit. She'll say, "All my friends dress like this." And you got to step back and not get emotionally involved and say, "Sorry, we're going to raise the bar for decency and holiness." Listen carefully on all our campuses. It'll start getting warmer around here very soon. And when it does, the clothes start shrinking in size. What does that mean? Men and women, we need to remind ourselves, we need to remind our spouses, we need to remind our families that we're not supposed to dress in a way to show off our body to get attention from the opposite sex. We're to dress in such a way to bring glory to God. Now, CCV, hang in there. CCV, there we are. We need to remind each other that we're the ones to set the standard in this city. It's not the government's job. It's not the school's job. It's our job as believers in Jesus Christ. We've got to stand up and fight and protect the godly values in our home, our school, our marketplace, and in the government. Write these three things down. It's not in your notes. We need to set the standard. You say, well, what if culture says something different? That's not our responsibility as godly men and women. We're supposed to set the standard according to the Word of God. But secondly, we've got to live the standard. Because you see, if we say this is how we should live, but we're living differently, we lose our effectiveness. We're not walking the talk. And thirdly, we have to find out in love to how can we enforce the standard. You say, what do you mean? That happened with my youngest daughter years ago when she was in high school. She came home one day and said, Dad, my teacher said something that was totally inappropriate. And she told me what it was, and it was inappropriate. And so I called the principal, and I said, excuse me, one of your teachers had said something that is inappropriate in the classroom in front of my daughter. And I said what it was. And the principal said, thanks for the call. I wasn't aware of that. I'll take care of it, and it won't happen again. Now what's the point? You see, if you're aware of something, don't become passive and back off. Don't pass petitions. Step up and say, this is a standard that my family is used to, and you make sure they're enforcing your values. The Bible says, be strong and let us fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. If you're a godly fighter, if you're a man and woman, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God wants us to protect. To protect our families, to protect our spouse. It's our job to step up. Number two, we have a kingdom to advance. I want to say to you men and women, what kingdom are you trying to advance? Matthew chapter 11 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. Our theme in 2013 is step up. And if you step up and you step out, trust me, persecution will follow. I guarantee you. But we've got to step up and accept the challenge. And the problem today is if we're not careful, we're more concerned about building our own kingdom and our careers instead of advancing God's kingdom. Somebody said this, listen carefully. Before we can pray, Lord, your kingdom come, we must be willing to pray, my kingdom must go. There's the tough one. Why? Because the Bible says nobody can serve two masters. You're going to please one or the other. We can't advance God's kingdom and hang on to our kingdom at the same time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. I can't accomplish God's will when I'm still hanging on to what I want to do and accomplish for myself. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was giving his life to the cause he thought was most important. He was all in. He was killing Christians. He was destroying the church of Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus, he had a divine encounter with God. And then his cause, his life purpose, changed. He went from killing Christians to advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ at all costs. And what happened? He was put in prison for preaching the gospel. He was fighting to win. Listen to what he said in Philippians chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You're kidding me. You're in jail and you're saying I'm advancing the gospel? As a result, it's been clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. You see, Paul was a prisoner, and every 4 hours, a different soldier was chained to him. Would you like that job, Paul preaching to you nonstop for 4 hours every day? You would get converted. He said, I've converted the whole guard and everyone else. Because of my change, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God with more courageously and more fearlessly. Amen. What happened? Paul stepped up with courage and boldness, and other people around him said, man, if he can do this and he's in prison, then we can step up too. You see, when you step up, other believers in Jesus Christ in the marketplace and in the school and in your neighborhood, they also will be encouraged to step up. John Maxwell said this, we have scores of passive Christians infected with a disease called spectatorism. This untapped potential is generally educated beyond their level of obedience and is not transmitting truth into practice, meaning we're not walking the talk. Spectatorism creates flabby, weak, spoon-fed believers who've grown old but have not grown up. That's called what? A baby Christian.
And you can be in the church for years. You can call yourself a Christian for years and be in the church and never grow up. You know why? Because if you're a baby Christian, you're not concerned about His kingdom. You come every week and you're saying, what are you doing to take care of my needs? Because it's all about you. Listen, we need to step up and serve instead of sit and soak. We need to play in the game instead of watching the game. God wants us to be difference makers, not spectators. As Christian men and women, it's so easy to get off target. And I would say to you, I struggle with that as well every day in my life. It is so easy with what I have to do to forget to keep the main thing, and it's so easy to take off in different things and get off target. And we get concerned about how much money am I going to make? Am I going to have enough money for retirement? Am I going to have enough money to send my kids to college? How many toys can I accumulate? What can I do to keep climbing the corporate ladder? And I want to say to you, God has created you for something far greater than that. God has put a divine cause within each of us. But we got to make a choice. We'll never be fulfilled trying to live for God's kingdom and live for our kingdom. You got to make a choice. I want you to watch this video of a good friend of mine named Chuck, member of CCV, that he had to come to grips with that same question: what was his purpose and how did God want to use him?
My passion in life is to lead an example life of honesty, integrity, and to show Jesus Christ through my daily walk. I grew up in a Christian home, a fine Christian home. We lived in not a fancy neighborhood. My mother was a nurse, my dad was a truck driver. We didn't have anything, but we had each other. My mother was kind of the lead person in the home, and she was so special. My parents are both passed away now, but they taught me so many things that I've just tried to carry them on. And along my life, I went to college, worked in the grocery business, and I had to go to the Army for a little while. And when I got back from the Army, my wife said, "We've moved." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "There's a man across the street, and he said he wanted to talk to you." One day I went over and I said, "I understand that you want to talk to me." But he said, "Have you ever heard of Sonic Drive-Ins?" And I said, "No, sir, never heard of him." But a long story short, 40 years later, he and I partnered up back then jointly with another gentleman who's an attorney. We're in 16 markets. We have some 360 Sonics, and it's been a great ride for me financially. But the big part of financial part of it is it's let us have opportunity to reach out to help other people, just like my mama said. She said, "Son, you can't outgive Jesus. You can't outgive God." We went on some mission trips. I'd never been overseas. I hadn't been out of Oklahoma 3 or 4 times. You know, I was kind of a country boy. Don Wilson said, "Chuck, let's go to Lima, Peru on a mission trip." And so I thought about it, and I prayed about that. God said, "Chuck, you need to do it." And so I did. Got there, and it was just crazy. And I was sitting in this big tin building that held probably 1,200 people. I was all by myself. And I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing in Lima, Peru? I don't know any of these people. I don't know anybody. And I said, "God, I give it my time. I give it my money. I give it my talents. But I don't understand this. I just feel so uncomfortable here." And it was like a voice said, and people think I'm crazy when I say this, but it wasn't a real voice, you know, out loud like that, but it just hit my head and my heart. And the voice said, "Chuck, I need to tell you something. I don't need your money. I need you." And that changed my life. I've had the opportunity to talk to quite a few young guys in life, and they ask questions like, "How do you get rich like you?" You know, and my standard answer is, money in and of itself will not make you happy. I've seen it happen in my business world. People just get all kinds of money and they're unhappy. You know, they go off and do crazy things and it makes them less unhappy. But it's the love of Jesus Christ, to be in tune with Him, read about Him in His Word, watch for people, reach out to help people, and you'll be the happiest person in the world.
there was an interesting thing that Chuck said there, that when he felt God spoke to him in Peru and said, I don't need your money, I don't need your titles, your position, I want you. And you know what? That's true for all of us. God has us right where he wants us. And if we surrender our heart to him, we can advance his kingdom and make a difference forever. The takeaway today is this. What are you fighting for that will last? What are you fighting for that will last? Because if we're not careful, most of the things we pursue in life are going to rust, burn, decay, or be destroyed when Jesus Christ comes back. The only thing you can take to heaven is God's word and God's people. So our goal is to go to heaven and take as many people with us as we can. And that's why Easter is coming up next week, and it is an incredible opportunity for us to step up and join our neighbors, our family, our co-workers, have them come with us to one of our services. I read just this week, it said that almost 30% of the people that used to go to church and quit going to church, they decided to come back because a family or a friend simply invited them to come back, just extended an invitation. And I want to encourage you to do that, because your invitation, whether you realize it or not, could be the one thing that changes their life forever and changes what they're going to invest the rest of their life in. Life is short, and life's too important for us to simply just play games. Let's fight to win and advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. And thank you for the godly women in this church that are supporting their husbands and encouraging them to lead. Thank you for godly women that have had to lead when the man hasn't stepped up or hasn't even been there. May their number increase. But today we're also praying for all the men, that we would not be to one extreme passive, we'd not be to the other extreme abusive, but we would be godly men who will protect our families, who will protect the values of your word, and are not afraid to stand up and fight for you, God. To fight in the marketplace, the school, the neighborhood, wherever we live, to say we're going to raise the bar. We're not going to compromise. We're going to follow Jesus Christ with everything that we've got. Lord, thank you for the men at CCV. And I pray even today you'd stir our hearts and have us stop and ask ourselves, what cause are we fighting for? Are we investing our life and our influence and our resources in things that will last forever? In your name we pray. Amen.